Imagine a space for South Asian women where stories are not just told, but actually felt. This is Rue, Rising Over Obstacles and Healing, brought to you by Jyoti and Monica, two friends who set out to carve a little space and make a difference by sharing stories and fostering healing and strength within our community. We invite you to listen and reflect, finding your own path one story at a time. And just for sticking around, there's a golden biscuit at the end of each episode. So it was a Sunday afternoon on November 21st, 2021. I was going about my usual day, sitting down actually having a cup of coffee, and I got a phone call. The call was from my chachaji, my uncle, and he informed me that it was nothing to worry about, nothing too serious, but my dad had had a mini heart attack. Now, my dad was in India at the time. He had moved from the States and gone back to India and opened a nursing college. So he was there by himself. And hearing this, I was, of course, worried, extremely worried, but not really shocked. And the reason I wasn't very shocked is because cardiovascular disease runs in my family. Many of the men in my family have had heart attacks. And my perception of it was, you know, it was my dad's first heart attack. So my perception was, this is something that happens, but he's going to either get stents put in or have a bypass surgery and everything's going to be fine. What complicated things was that it was in the middle of COVID. You still couldn't travel openly. And I was with a very young child at the time. I couldn't necessarily leave him and just go be there with my dad at that time. However, he was in good hands. He was at a very good hospital. And what I had been told is that for a week or two, my dad had been feeling like his stomach was upset. He felt like he had acid built up. He felt gas, I guess you can call it. And he just sort of kept feeling this. And he went to the doctors there in India and they just kept giving him medicine for acid reflux. They didn't really dig any deeper. And it wasn't until he had trouble even going up a set of stairs that he realized, okay, this may be something a little bit more serious. So one of his best friends there convinced him to go to a hospital and get himself checked out. And when he went to the hospital is when he discovered that he had actually had a heart attack. It was a silent heart attack and he did not realize it at all. So the whole family's here in the U.S. My dad's in India. He's at the hospital. We can't get there. We're trying to get in touch with the doctors. We're getting all the reports sent here, getting them looked at. It turns out that stents would not have been feasible. He actually needed to have a bypass surgery. So he got scheduled for the surgery. And a day before the surgery was scheduled to take place, they found out that my dad had developed a clot. So they did not want to proceed with the surgery for the fear of the clot moving mid-surgery. And the doctors decided it would be best to wait until the clot is dissolved and then perform surgery. Now, I had talked to my dad a few times in between. There were a few days where he wasn't able to really speak because he was at the hospital and whatnot. But over the course of like 5 days, I spoke to him sporadically. And when the doctors decided that they had to wait to perform this bypass surgery for the blood clot to dissolve, I remember speaking to my dad and telling him to stay at the hospital. He decided, being, you know, a stubborn South Asian man, he decided he did not want to be at the hospital. He wanted to go home and, you know, he had to take medication to get the clot dissolved. And he said, you know, I'm in good hands at home. We have a nursing college. We have all the staff. Everyone's there. They'll be able to take care of me. I want to be in my own home. And he went home against family's wishes. And once he got home, he seemed to be in better spirits. You know, when your loved one has been in the hospital and has had a heart attack, obviously you're worried. In my situation, I never really thought that it was going to be very serious. We were preparing for the surgery. My mom had a very difficult time trying to find a flight to go back home to India. By the time that she was able to secure a flight and make plans to be able to get there, it would have been right before the surgery. And we had made all these plans of products that he would need after the bypass surgery. We had gotten everything that he would need to be comfortable. He was going to be immobile for a little while. So, you know, we had made plans. We had decided that mom would go stay for a little while, and then perhaps I would go take a month off, stay with him. And eventually we would just convince him to come back to the U.S. because our idea of healthcare in India, you know, it's just not regarded very highly. So my dad's home. He was happy. I spoke to him and he sounded just fine. I still remember a conversation with him, and he sounded just like himself. He was in good spirits. And, you know, I said to my dad, like, what's going on? How did you end up having a heart attack? You know, are you not eating healthy? And he goes to me, I eat very healthy. He's like, I eat home-cooked meals. I eat everything that's grown in the garden here at home. You know, we try not to buy too many things from the bazaar or whatnot. He's like, it's just when I go to events, it was starting to be winter season, and there were a lot of weddings in India around that time. So he's like, it's just when I go to these weddings, that's when I end up eating poorly. Otherwise, I eat really well. So I said to him, how often are you going to these events? And he goes, 3 to 4 times a week. And I'm like, so you're telling me 3 to 4 times a week you're eating this restaurant food that's laden with like oils and fats and, you know, God knows what else, you know, all the additives that are in the food there and whatnot. That's what you're eating? And he's like, well, yeah, but I eat very healthy at home. And I'm like, you know, this doesn't make sense. You have to promise me that going forward, you're going to have a mini meal at home, a healthy meal, before you go to any of these events. Do not ever go to these events hungry. Eat something that is healthy at home, and then just nibble on a few things when you attend these gatherings, just to be social, but do not rely on that food as your main meal. And he turns around to me and he goes, what a smart thing to say. He's like, I will obviously always do this, you know, wow, that was a really good idea. And I shared with him how that's something that I tend to do quite often, because when you're hungry, you're going to gravitate towards all the foods. You're not going to make good decisions when it comes to what you're going to put on your plate. But if you go to a party and you've already eaten, you're not necessarily rushing to get all that other food on your plate. Anyway, we had a pretty decent conversation. I want to say a good 25 minutes. And I just realized at that time that he had been on the phone for a while, and maybe it was a good idea for him to just rest up and whatnot. So he promised to eat healthy, and we said our goodbyes. And I said, you know, I will talk to you tomorrow. And I said, I love you. And he said, I love you, beta. And those were the last words I heard from my dad. Never in my dreams, my imagination, did I think that my dad was not going to make it. He ended up, apparently we found out afterwards, in his sleep, the clot must have moved, and he ended up having a stroke. And a few hours after I spoke with him, he was gone. When I think about this, the one thing that always sticks out to me is, why didn't the doctors check his heart when he was complaining about his acid or gas that he thought he had? Because he had been to one of those events and he had eaten some Pakora, and he thought that's what was messing with his stomach. You know, when I've told this to others about what happened, it's not very uncommon. I hear so often that not everyone has your normal like heart attack where you know, like it's a blatant heart attack. You know the signs to look for. You know that's a heart attack. Not everyone has that. There's the silent attacks. There's other symptoms that people experience not knowing that that's a heart attack. And, you know, if we knew, my husband said to me, he's a doctor here in the U.S., and he said that when South Asian men in their 50s, 60s, 70s, when they present these symptoms to a doctor, such as, you know, gas or acid reflux or whatnot, one of the first things they do is they check to make sure the person hasn't had a heart attack. This was news to me, and I wanted to share this because I've come across so many people recently who've been in that similar situation. They were able to make it because, one, they're here in the U.S. and, you know, they were able to get help right away, get the right help right away. But not everyone's as lucky. And I just wanted to share this story so that anyone that's listening, if you have someone in your family, if you have someone who's experiencing these symptoms, and like I said, they're in their 50s, 60s, 70s, it's persistent acid problem or whatever it is, just go have them just go rule out a heart attack. It could certainly save lives. We weren't this lucky. But I want to make people aware of just this one little thing, just so that if it'll help anyone, it'll be worth sharing. So we all know cardiovascular disease is very, very prevalent in our culture, in the South Asian community. And I'm pretty sure every one of us knows at least one person who has had a heart attack or who has had cardiovascular disease.
When you say that, I think that's what makes us not immune, but like you said, we've gotten so used to hearing that, okay, you have symptoms of a heart attack, or did you have a minor stroke or a heart attack, that you're going to survive.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing from you, because it had been a few days since we'd been in touch, and it was through text message because both our kids were young, so we weren't meeting in person quite often in COVID.
Yeah.
And when you told me, you know, about Uncle G and the symptoms, again, I was also surprised. I didn't know that those were one of the symptoms. And I automatically, it just clicked that they got it. Mm-hmm. They caught it. They know what happened and he'll be okay. Yeah. You know, like you said, there was a plan.
Yeah.
And it was being taken care of. And knowing the family has great doctors here for advice, I knew in my heart that it was going to be a positive outcome.
Same. We have a family group chat, and in it, my sister asked my husband, and she just said, "Geej, you know, you've looked at all of the reports, and do you think this is something to worry about?" And even though I'm reading these messages, I was truly not worried. I didn't think that it was going to come to this.
Yeah.
Like you said, we've been so desensitized. Mm-hmm. We've heard of so many heart attacks, you know, people having heart attacks, people having stents put in, that even though like other people were telling me, "Don't worry, he's going to be fine," I just kept thinking, why is anyone even saying this to me? Of course my dad's going to be fine. My grandfather, when he passed, it was his fourth heart attack. Yeah. He had had three heart attacks before that. And the third one he had had, I think, is called like a widowmaker or something, where it was, I mean, a massive heart attack. And he was in a coma for quite some time, but he survived. So to me, you know, seeing that one of my uncles had had a heart attack and he had had a quadruple bypass surgery. So it just wasn't something where I even thought that this was going to be the outcome. And in that group message, I remember my husband saying, anytime it has to do with the heart, it's worrisome. Mm-hmm. And even reading that, I just thought I brushed it off.
Yeah.
So the call that I received, this was the day before my mom was due to leave to go to India. She called. It was nighttime, and I'm thinking she's calling because all our conversations at that point were always about what to bring to India.
Yeah.
What dad would need for his comfort. So I thought, okay, well, she's probably done packing. Maybe she's forgetting a few things. So she's calling me, you know, just to kind of go over everything or whatnot. The last words I expected to hear were that your dad is no longer alive. I don't think you can ever prepare yourself for that moment.
Yeah.
And if I were to describe it, it's like you're standing, but you have no ground to stand on. Mm-hmm. You're just like your entire foundation is completely rocked. It's gone. And it was such disbelief that I didn't want to believe it. Mm-hmm. How could it be? I had just spoken to him a few hours before. And I was very close to my dad, very close. So to me, it was like, I always saw my dad as this strong guy. I never realized that those words would be the last words we would exchange. It does give me a bit of comfort knowing that the last thing I heard from my dad was, I love you, beta. And those are words that I will always carry with me. And I would always encourage everyone, you know, let your loved ones know you love them. Don't hold on to any resentments or any anger or any issues, because at the end of the day, nothing is bigger than life. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to let your loved ones know you love them.
So one of the reasons why I also had a very positive outlook was my father as well had gone through a heart attack. This was a few years ago before, you know, what uncle went through. I remember, so my family was visiting us for Christmas. Mm-hmm. My dad had driven with my mom and my brother from Canada. It was December 2019. And they had arrived just 2 days before Christmas. And it was, I believe it was the day they had just gotten home. And we used to hang out in our basement quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're there sitting, and I was expecting with my daughter at the time. It was probably about 3-4 months pregnant.
So that had to be December 2018.
December 2018, yes. And we're sitting there, it's evening time. We were going to have a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd gotten a lot of groceries and I was bringing it into the house, and my dad was helping me, and I was like, it's okay, don't worry. And, you know, he's helping me. We're putting some of it in our first floor kitchen, some of it downstairs. And we have quite a few steps to go down, probably about 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very strong guy. He was 60 at that time. He had just turned 60. Or no, sorry, 59.
Okay.
Yeah, he had just turned 59. He's born in October of 1959. So he had just turned 59. And I see him kind of pace a little bit back and forth. He's also someone who's a very anxious person, can't sit still.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw him place his hand on his chest. And just as I'm processing it, my husband goes right away, Dad, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my dad is someone who plays off a lot of his health issues.
Okay.
He will ignore it himself, or he won't admit to any of them, mm-hmm. to us. You know, there was this look of worry, like, you know, when something's happening, all of a sudden your face kind of just falls and you get this look. He got this look, and I'm so glad, first of all, that my husband asked him and that he told him. He goes, you know, I just felt something in my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then he immediately goes, you know, I was lifting the bags, the groceries, maybe it was that. I had this reaction. I was like, here, just take the baby aspirin. Mm-hmm. You know, just take it. We had it at home because my father-in-law takes it, because 8 years before that, he had a stent put in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so, you know, we had it. And my husband's someone who does not take any kind of medical issue lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And especially given that my father said that, and he didn't have any history before that.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite, you know, like you said, your dad, quite healthy, very active. Not the best diet, though, which we knew of. So my husband goes, no, the hospital's right here. We're going to go right now. So immediately my brother and my husband took him, and I still, you know, I didn't think much of it. It was more like, it's a checkup. We're going to find out.
Yeah.
I could see the worry in my mom.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been someone who never gets anxious or anxiety when someone's going through any kind of medical issue, because I've always had faith that it works out.
Mm-hmm.
Been fortunate enough that even if any family has had major surgery, they've made it through.
Yeah.
So it was, for me, it was like, okay, we found this out and he's going to get checked out. You know, it was evening, so it was taking a while. And my husband's there. He's text messaging us. He's updating us. And he had an ECG done.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, something's a little off, but we're going to do a blood test test out his enzymes. And we were lucky enough that time too, I believe, you know, you and your husband went to the hospital later on at night. Because I was expecting at that time, and it was winter season, they wouldn't let me go to the hospital.
Yeah.
They're like, you're only 3-4 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. You have another baby at home. Everyone's sick of other viruses. You're not going to go check on your dad. And I myself also was like, okay, well, right now they're just in the process of it. So you were there, and I remember getting a message saying, well, you know, they did find some of the enzymes that were elevated. Mm-hmm. So they're going to keep them overnight. So my mom was still worried then, but I was still reassuring her. I'm like, you know, it's okay. They're going to find out. And the next morning I did, my brother and I, we went in. And as soon as we were there, the doctor comes in and he goes, you had a heart attack. You know, you and my dad still was in denial. Oh. There's the cardiologist.
Telling him.
It was the cardiologist who walked in and he said, you had a heart attack. And
your dad is saying, nope.
Nope. And my dad first goes, so when do I go home?
Oh, gosh.
And you know, he goes, you're not leaving anywhere. It's Christmas Eve now.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to stay here. There's going to be probably a few days before we can even book you in for a time.
Yeah.
For you to have a stent placed in, and you'll be here monitored until we figure out. And, you know, I come home and immediately tell my mom, and she starts crying. And I still, like, I knew what had happened was bad.
Yeah.
You know, this was bad for his health and how this was going to play off later on in his life, because he's going to have to be very careful and all that. But it was just, again, having faith in our medical system.
Yeah.
Knowing that, okay, he's in the hospital. He's going to get treated. I think that's what my attitude has always been.
Yeah.
That you're going to get treated and then we're going to go forward from here.
Yeah.
Somehow my husband, he just had this feeling. He's like, hey, I'm going to go visit dad. You know, he's there alone. He goes there and within 20 minutes, he calls like, oh, they're actually taking him now because they had a last minute pushover and they have time. And they said, hey, let's just do it.
Yeah.
So he was able to get the stent placed in while he was here visiting us. He was in the hospital for another day or two, and then he got to come back home to us. Mm-hmm. And I'm lucky enough to be able to share that story with a positive ending.
Yeah, because not everyone gets a positive ending. I'm so thankful and so glad that you did. And I want everyone to have this ending.
Yeah.
This was not an easy episode to record.
Yeah.
And I just felt so strongly about it, about sharing this, because just, and I'll tell you what, actually, you know, when I mentioned this to you that I'm, you know, let's do this, let's talk about this. It's because just this week, you know, as I go like jogging every morning, I've run into a lot of, you know, we live in a neighborhood where there are a lot of Desis and I've met so many of them going on my jogs every morning that, you know, I'm on good terms with a lot of them. And just this week, there's two that I came across who had recently had stents put in. And the first one, great lady, very nice, very sweet. She, you know, she told me that she had had a stent put in, and she said, I know it's my diet. She said, it's because I eat a lot of sugar and I need to cut down on the sugar. And that's very true. I think we South Asians love our sugar, and it definitely needs to be cut down. But then I said to her also, I was like, well, it's also the amount of fat, the fried foods that you're eating that, you know, plays into it as well. And she said to me, she said, well, I don't eat ghee. I don't eat gyo. She's like, that's something I've never eaten. So I don't eat a lot of fat. I only eat butter.
Like solid butter.
Yeah. So she said, I don't eat ghee, I don't eat gyo, but I eat butter. So, and I didn't want to be rude, right? But it just got me thinking that there is so much misinformation out there. And, you know, butter is just as bad. I mean, listen, you can have it in moderation, but if that's something you're eating daily and you're eating a large quantity of it, it's probably not good for you, as are the pakoras and samosas and everything else that we have. Weren't you just telling me that you just went somewhere and everything?
Yeah, so here's one thing about me. I don't have a sweet tooth like most South Asians, but I have a weakness for savory foods. It's really bad. Like if I see it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have it. However, I went to a wedding. We don't know much family around here, so we don't get invited out much. So we went to this wedding. I was excited about it. It was nice. It was a small, intimate, you know, gathering. We go there, and every meal that was being served there, and this was for breakfast, was fried. And, you know, because it's also restaurant, I mean, fried is fried, whether it's at home, restaurant or whatever. It was just extra, like where you could tell there was this excess of oil. And for someone who likes when she sees the pakore and the pature chole and that, I took one bite and I couldn't digest again, whatever it was. Yeah. And it just had me sitting there observing and seeing that how we, as South Asians, when we throw any kind of gathering, we're providing this unhealthy food and meal throughout the festivities, you know? And I was thinking, here I am just coming to the wedding ceremony. Like, this marriage has been going on for a week or so, you know, probably most likely. And there's so many other foods and things that they're eating and serving. And, you know, I understand it comes from a place of like, it's a festivity. We don't do this often. But like you said, when your father said, like, well, we have weddings, we go to 3-4 times a week. There's birthday parties, there's gatherings. Yeah. And in general, I feel like the way South Asian foods are prepared is just not healthy at all. And then when we try to make something for a special occasion, add in that extra cream, the butter, the oil, you know, all the unhealthy fats.
And then everything's fried. And even like the dals, the tarkas, so deeply fried. Like the, I didn't know this, but the mixed vegetables that they serve, like that, you know, medley of veggies, like a sabji.
Yes.
They're all fried first.
Oh, God.
Like when we make sabji at home, we don't fry it. No. We wouldn't even think of frying it. But like when food is catered, all those vegetables so that they stay like, I guess, crisp or whatever it is, the consistency, it's fried first.
It is.
So, you know, for me, I think this was a few years back when I realized what you're saying, that, you know, when you're younger, you don't really pay attention. When you start to eat healthy, then you really pay attention. Mm-hmm. And my standpoint, and, you know, obviously now with the health coaching, it's even more so making sure that what I'm eating is nourishing my body. Mm-hmm. So the quality of food is important. So it's not really a diet per se. It's more of what I'm eating is nourishing me and my body.
I love that you say that because I'm so lucky and fortunate that we grew up like that, my brother and I. My mom always made sure that whatever meal we had, she would always say, well, this is good for you. This is healthy for you. And not just to get us to eat, but she would state as to why. Mm-hmm. So the salad with it, you know, the yogurt, whatever it was, you know, even though it's Indian food and I know dal doesn't have, it's more carbs and protein, but even at that time she knew.
Yeah.
Like the benefits, she's like, oh, it has the vitamin B12s, all those things. Most of the time we always had some kind of vegetable with our dal and we always had a salad along with it as well.
Yeah.
So, and it was more about getting all those nutrients in.
Yeah.
So as much as, yes, I like to eat, I feel like I'm always conscious about, did I get my fruits in? Did I get my vegetables? Am I deficient in any kind of vitamins?
Exactly.
And just the way food is prepared, we always, majority of us did always have home cooked meals. But I feel like with recently, like everything is just so processed.
Yeah.
And prepackaged.
Yeah.
You know what? Another thing that we've kind of put back for a few years now, we used to do that as a family, was give out mithai for Diwali.
Oh, yeah.
And we just feel guilty because, A, when we receive it, our family itself, we don't finish it.
No.
So we feel like it goes to waste and we feel bad also giving it to others because just like as much as we know people who have had heart disease, there's just as many people unfortunate with diabetes.
Yeah. Diabetes is a big, big epidemic, I would say.
Yeah. And there's it's correlated to heart disease.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, something that my husband always says is that as South Asians, our threshold is very low.
Mm.
So to get these sort of diseases, we don't have to be, you know, as big, like, you know, or have as much fat accumulated on our bodies to be at risk.
Yeah.
So it's just our threshold is much lower. So we have to be mindful of these things, you know. So the tip that I do employ ever since I've been focused on eating healthy. When I go to a wedding, I don't go hungry. Mm-hmm. So mornings, like the breakfast, I had that same, that experience that you had mm-hmm. a few years back. I had that experience. I looked around and I'm like, there's literally nothing I can eat here other than maybe fruit
yeah.
that I could say is healthy. But mm-hmm. you know, if you haven't had a meal all day, fruit's not going to cut it.
Right.
So now when I go to a wedding in the morning, I eat my breakfast. Mm-hmm. I have something that's substantial yeah. mm-hmm. before I go.
Yeah.
And then again, just nibble there mm-hmm. and that's it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the reason we're saying all this is to just sort of raise awareness.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
It is. And I feel like we need to bring change into lifestyle. And a positive change would be in the food that we eat.
Yes.
The
yes.
food that we serve.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with simplicity.
Yeah.
I honestly, what makes me happiest the most is a nice home cooked meal, simple meal.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, you know, you feel well nourished, you feel good, you actually get energy.
Yeah. Yeah.
From something like that.
Yeah.
And if we slowly start making that a norm, we wouldn't feel guilty about it. And the other thing that sometimes upsets me is it's always that goina, or it's just today.
Yeah.
Or it's fine, you know, just do it for the party or whatever. But it really truly adds up. And
yeah.
it just becomes the norm where, you know, when are we going to stop? Given that we know we're already predispositioned
yes.
for these diseases, or we may have family or people that are there at the event. You know, sometimes you yourself are actually trying to control.
Yeah.
But if the options aren't there, then that's difficult.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I just want to go back to like I told you about the auntie
yeah.
who said that she didn't eat ghee, mm-hmm. but she ate butter.
Yeah.
And then the other incident, the other person who had just had a stent put in, you know, it's this uncle that I've run into, auntie and uncle both on walks. And I was very surprised to hear about him because he's skinny. He was very active. And they used to tell me all the time that you're kind of like our inspiration. We see you, rain or shine, like out yeah. there walking and or jogging. Mm-hmm. And we felt motivated to do it ourselves. So, you know, when I said, well, had he stopped being active? She said, no. She's like, he would get up at 5 a.m. and he would go to the gym at mm-hmm. 5 a.m. So then I'm like, okay, well, is it his diet? Mm-hmm. And she goes, yep, that's the problem. And she goes, you know, Indian men, they have to have their roti.
Yeah.
They are not satisfied until they have like the roti,
yeah.
right? I just want to say for those out there listening, if you think dal with roti and homemade dahi is a healthy meal, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not.
Yeah.
Whether you add the ghee in there or not, it is not a healthy meal. First of all, you have sugar in dal, you have sugar in roti, and you have sugar in the homemade dahi.
Mm-hmm.
What would make it a healthier meal is if you maybe substituted the roti with quinoa
mm-hmm.
and substituted the homemade dahi, the yogurt, with Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
Then you're getting more protein, less sugar. So it's all about balance and it's all about just really paying attention to what you're eating. So we can probably talk about just the desi diet in detail at another episode. I think if we were to start breaking down everything that we eat and just identify what's healthy, what's not healthy, it would be several episodes. The purpose of today's episode, though, is more about sharing the type of symptoms that one can have that aren't necessarily blatant heart attack symptoms. The second person that had a heart attack recently, what his wife had said to me was that it was also a very similar situation where they thought it was an acid issue. For about 3 days, he thought that, you know, he had eaten something that wasn't sitting well with him. But luckily, they consulted with a family friend who's a doctor who said, you know what, let's just get the heart checked out. So they were able to go in time and get the stent put in. So these are some of the symptoms that presented in my dad and this uncle, where it wasn't clear right from the get-go that this could have been a heart attack. So I wanted to bring that forward. And Monica, you know, I just think that maybe we should remind our listeners what like the clear cut, I guess, you know, the blatant signs or symptoms are for a heart attack.
Yeah. So, you know, the most common that we hear of, or most of us know, are the shooting pain.
Yeah.
Up and down our left arm, a tightness in your chest, or hard at breathing.
Yeah.
right? All of a sudden, some even have had a dizzy spell as well. So for my dad, he told us a few days after when he came home and he was recovering that he had actually had these symptoms a week or two before. It wasn't the pain going up and down his arm, but he was at work and he felt like something heavy on his chest where he actually had to stop and sit down. He said he felt it for a few seconds and then he felt fine, but he did definitely notice that it was something off that he hadn't felt before.
But he brushed it aside.
But he pushed it aside. And this was probably a week before he had traveled to visit us. So, you know, at this point, when he's telling me this, all I'm thinking is this could have happened while you were driving at any time.
Yeah.
You know, it could have happened in his sleep. And he didn't mention it to us or to even go to get it checked out. And had he gone that week, I feel like he would have been able to have just had a stent put in without having to have gone through a heart attack.
Yeah.
Because when your body goes through a heart attack, the tissue gets damaged.
Yeah.
So that's how they detect it in your blood levels. When they had gone in to see my dad, he had one of his arteries was 90% blocked. And this is someone who's a vegetarian. So a major misconception in South Asians is that if you're a vegetarian, you have a vegetarian diet, oh, there's no fat going into your body. Why would you have cholesterol? Where, you know, if you're eating meats prepared the right way,
it's
great. It's helped you. You know, protein makes you stay full longer. Yeah. You don't munch on the wrong things. It doesn't spike your sugar levels. Yeah. It slows down the absorption of how bad sugars are absorbed in your body. Yeah. You know, it helps you actually increase nutrients. Yeah. Absorption. So my dad, you know, he ate a lot of sugar and a lot of his diet. I hope he's listening to this because I hope you've learned, you know, after all these years, just, you know, processed food, white bread, cookies as a grown man.
Okay.
You know, those Indian biscuits. And, you know, it's just unfortunate because I still see that amongst a lot of males in our family that have gone through this. I have an uncle who went through a quadruple bypass who, if you saw him, he would ride a bike for miles.
Yeah.
And physically just so thin, you know, and you would never think. And he does have a healthy diet as well, though. Yeah. You know, he eats healthy as well. But for him, it was a genetic condition.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't pinpoint it too much onto his diet because he is a very healthy person, but it was genetically his heart valves were just constrained. They were just smaller than what they needs to be. And the same thing the doctors had said was South Asians, we see this a lot in them.
Yeah. And I just want to mention that while we're talking about misconceptions, conceptions is that just because you were thin doesn't mean you're healthy.
Oh, no.
That's a big misconception.
Such a big misconception. I remember the first time really seeing this, I was watching some kind of like E! News entertainment. And so she was an actress on a soap opera. Probably, I want to say, I think she had said late 50s, maybe early 60s. Beautiful, gorgeous, super healthy. Of course, she has all the resources to be healthy. And she was someone who said she practices yoga, Pilates, cardiovascular exercises, everything, healthy diet. However, she was having some issues. She went in to go see the doctor and she had to have a stent placed in. And I remember her coming on national TV. I don't know why I can't remember her name. Her saying that I want to come forward because I want to take this misconception away of people being like, if I'm thin, I'm healthy.
Yeah.
If I'm thin, nothing is wrong with me. And she's like, it was because it was in her family. Her mother had had a heart disease.
Yeah.
So she's like, you know, and sometimes you don't think of these things because you just like, oh, well, I'm eating healthy. I'm fine. I'm exercising.
Yeah.
But you don't know what's going on in your body.
Yeah. That's why those annual checkups are very important.
Very important. And anything off you feel, just share it with someone. Because with you sharing this very, very hard story, I know, you know, you're going to save so many people because I'm sure just like you and I, we never knew that this could be a symptom of a heart attack. There are many who are learning about this.
Yeah. It's just not a common symptom. And until it happened to my dad, I had never heard of it.
Yeah.
So the last time I saw him was at a wedding, my cousin's wedding in Mexico. And he was climbing stairs up and down and he was fine.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you even think about.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that by sharing our stories, we are able to help others. One thing I would like to say, the golden biscuit, the key takeaway from today is when I keep thinking back to all the everything that unfolded with my dad, I wish he had told me that he had this acid or gas issue or whatnot. I did not hear from him about that. He kept it from us. He didn't say anything. If he had mentioned that for about 2 weeks now he had been having this issue, I'm sure my husband right away would have said, you know, he needs to go get his heart checked out. So I would urge everyone to be open, to share, to pay attention to your bodies. And if you feel symptoms that are not normal, share them with your loved ones. And also talk to your parents. Let your parents know that they can't just brush symptoms aside. You know, you love them and that they need to share with you if they're feeling any sort of symptom, whether it's big or small, they should share because it certainly can save lives.
Thank you so much for opening up and sharing your story with us. As much as it is your story, it's your family story. And I know it took a lot for you to have to relive that. That's very difficult and hard.
Well, you know, I'd like to say I'm doing this for my dad. Thank you for listening to Rue. We appreciate you joining us as we cultivate a community of strong, empowered women, one story at a time. If you or someone you know has a story you'd like to share, please contact us at ruhdaraz@gmail.com. That's ruhdaraz@gmail.com. Also, do us a favor and please share this podcast with your sisters, your mom, your friends, aunties, your eyebrow lady, like any lady you know. You know, you get the idea. Till next time, kush raho, be well.